Hi, hello, and welcome back to the show. I have such a great episode for you guys today. I actually just finished recording it, and most of the time I will go ahead and record it, and then I'll film the intro and outro. Sometimes I don't do an outro, but I'll usually film it a couple of days later, and then I'll get to editing it. But I just finished recording this episode, and I'm so excited to bring this to you guys that I'm actually going to start editing it right now. I did want to give a trigger warning. In this episode, we do discuss an eating disorder. We discuss binge eating, bulimia. If you feel like you're not in a position to be able to handle the conversations in regarding to these topics, then please feel free to exit out of this podcast. There will be plenty more. But in today's episode, I actually get to interview Lorna, who is a binge eating recovery coach. I personally struggled with binge eating in my late teens and early 20s. I do still to this day feel a lot of pain for my younger self, for having to deal with something that was so consuming, yet so shameful. I felt so ashamed of having an eating disorder. I felt like I was the only one going through it. And I hope that if nothing else, that this episode just makes you feel less alone. You're not broken. And you know, at the end of this episode, Lorna says, there's going to be an approach that will work for you. And maybe in the past, you know, you've tried therapists or you've tried nutritionists or you've tried stuff and it hasn't worked. Don't give up, because there will be something that will work for you. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. She gives so many great tips on identifying binge eating, what you can do when you feel the urge to binge, and the overall bigger umbrella of how you can heal and fix your relationship with food so that you're no longer struggling with binge eating. I will have her information, like her Instagram, TikTok, and her own podcast, linked in the show notes of this episode. And with that being said, let's get right into it.
I know I have a lot of personal questions as someone who's dealt with binge eating. I would love to start off with you just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about how you got to be a binge eating recovery coach.
I actually grew up as a competitive dancer, and I've always enjoyed eating healthy. You know, I really never thought about my body much until one of the other dancers had called me fat. And when I was 14 years old, my dieting history began. I started stripping away my calories. I started telling my mom that I was going to, you know, prepare my own lunches. I started, you know, thinking about food so much more. I was eating in secret, and I was doing these things with food that I know weren't normal. And I just thought maybe like I needed more motivation, or I needed to be more consistent. I needed to be more dedicated. But every single diet that I've tried, it was the same thing. I felt out of control with food. I was stuck in this restrict binge cycle. And I thought, okay, I'm going to hire a personal trainer. I'm going to, you know, do a bodybuilding competition. Ooh, this is going to fix me. So I entered the bodybuilding world. And, you know, of course, that obviously made things a lot worse. I didn't really even know that I was binge eating. I just figured if I could be really strict and have so much control, then this will, you know, stop my binge eating. Obviously that didn't work out. So then I ended up being a personal trainer myself. So I got my certification. I opened up a fitness studio with my husband. I was personal training. I was doing health coaching. I started doing some like gut health coaching, and I was all over the place, to be honest with you. And what I realized with coaching clients with health coaching was they were telling me that they were scared to go out for dinner. They were telling me that they were feeling guilty for eating a cookie. And I said, this isn't normal. And then I said to myself, I am actually experiencing this. So for a few years, I felt like the biggest imposter, you know, coaching my clients in the health space and myself feeling out of control with food. So I realized I needed to get my own, you know, act together. I needed to reach out. I needed to get support for my own relationship with food. So I actually hired a coach myself, because although I thought I knew all the things being a health coach, ending binge eating is completely different. So I reached out for support, although it was really scary and embarrassing and all the things. I got support. Once I healed my relationship with food, I did go on and get certified as a binge eating coach. And I've been over 2 years completely binge free, and I've helped so many clients all over the world And there have been cheating as well. So that's kind of my path.
That is so amazing. You know, everything that you said, especially at the beginning, being like, these were the little habits that kind of led to being like, this isn't normal. I experienced that as well. I mean, I had many, many years with binge eating, and it all started off the same way. I wanted to, one, manipulate my body. I knew I had to do that through food. And then you start off with restriction. And that's why I always say to people, like, binge eating almost always starts off, it's a cycle, and it starts off with restriction. You're so hyper aware, everything in your day revolves around food. When am I going to eat? Do I have to eat around people? Is someone going to notice these eating habits? You'd rather be alone. You'd rather be in private. It's like it becomes this whole other part of your life that most people that don't struggle with binge eating, which unfortunately a lot of women do, but most people that don't struggle with binge eating don't deal with that. I would love for you to like define what binge eating is.
So the way that I describe binge eating, it's actually not the quantity of how much you're eating, but it's rather how you feel while eating. So it's this surge of energy, this rush of anxiety. For me, it felt like this out of body experience where somebody was like taking over my body and doing these things with food that just didn't feel like me. You feel almost like a secret agent, like snacking uncontrollably late at night when your partner goes to bed, your husband goes to bed. I did a lot of binging in secret. And it's like you intellectually know that you're full, but your body is like, keep on eating. And the biggest distinction is this impulse, this urge. It feels like an itchy mosquito bite that needs to be scratched. So when that urge comes on, like if you've ever gotten a mosquito bite, for everyone listening, I'm sure we've had, and it's like, I'm just gonna scratch it a little bit. Like it's so itchy, I have to scratch it. And then you start scratching it a little bit and you feel like you can't stop. Well, same with binge eating. You tell yourself, okay, one little small piece of chocolate, and then that piece of chocolate turns into eating the whole chocolate bar. Well, what else can I find in the kitchen, in the cabinet? So it's this feeling that you get that really distinguishes binge eating from even overeating. Because overeating, let's be honest, everyone overeats from time to time, but not everyone experiences that urge, that impulse that is the number one factor that drives you to binge and self-sabotage with food.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I remember my first binge eating experience. It was exactly the way you just described it. It was an out-of-body experience. I ended up, it was probably 3 or 4 months into very, very severe restriction that kind of happened overnight. I woke up one day and I was like, okay, I'm dieting. That's it. I'm cutting everything out. I'm going to be eat only clean. And then 3 or 4 months in, I was like, seeing all this progress of my body and feeling so happy. And I was getting all these compliments and it was like feeding this feeling of, okay, well now you deserve to have a little bit of something. And I remember my parents left to go to church, which is so interesting to think that my body already knew what it was going to do before I had any awareness of it. I planned to do this, even though I didn't think that I was planning to do this, but I was like, you know what? I'm feeling sick, guys. You guys go do your thing. And in my head, I was like, oh, I can't wait to just make myself some pancakes. So I go into the kitchen, I whip up some pancakes, I eat them. And it's like, when you're eating them, your body's like waking up from this dream or this nightmare almost. And then I remember being like, okay, I'm still hungry. So I'm going to have something else. And then 30 minutes later, it was as if I had come back into my body. I was standing in my kitchen. I was looking around. I had eaten peanut butter. I had eaten chocolate. I had eaten like syrup. I was like drinking syrup, just all this weird stuff that normally wouldn't happen. And I was like, what just happened? Right. I ate everything. It was like salty and sweet and literally anything that was in front of me. And I could not understand why I did that. I was like so confused and almost just like ashamed of myself. And I remember telling myself, this will never happen again. This is a once in a lifetime thing, whatever. I must've just, you know, I must've been really hungry, whatever. And then, of course, you go back to even more restriction because you're like, now I have to make up for it. And then 2 weeks later, I was back having the exact same thing happen. There was definitely a clear-cut difference between binging and overeating. I overeat now all the time. Sometimes I'm like, I'm probably not going to go to this restaurant again. Let me like have a little bit more food. But it is such a different feeling of like the guilt that comes with it, the feeling of out of body, that urge, like you said, it's like an instant. So if someone's like, you know what, I don't know if I'm overeating or if I'm binge eating, what are like some questions that they can ask themselves to kind of figure out where they stand?
Well, I think I would ask, like, how do you feel while eating? Like, are you standing up in front of your cupboards, hand in the bag, hand in the mouth? Like, do you feel like this surge of energy? Are you anxious? Are you eating super fast? Are you doing it in secret? Right? Because like overeating, you can be with your husband or some girlfriends sitting on the couch, ordering pizza, maybe overindulging a little bit, but there's no secrecy. It's like, oh, we're all just eating and like, okay, we're probably not hungry, but we're just having a good time. But somebody who binges is like, they're hiding food. Maybe they're going to multiple drive-throughs. So just really asking yourself, how do I feel while I'm eating? And do I hide food? Am I scared to eat in front of other people? That's a big one. For me, I remember my high school days, as embarrassing as it sounds, but I would literally go in the bathroom in a stall and eat my lunch because I was so scared of eating in front of people because I was so used to binging by myself that I almost didn't know how to eat in front of other people. I was scared of judgment. I was scared of comments of what they're going to say. And I mean, people who struggle with binge eating, there's so much self-judgment that the last thing that you want is somebody else to make a comment of, oh, you're eating that much, or you eat like a bird, all these negative, you know, comments. So I would ask yourself those questions. How do I feel? Am I scared to eat in front of other people? Does it feel like I'm going through like this out of body experience? And do I think about food all day long? Is food on my mind 24/7?
That's great. Thank you so much for explaining that. I think that's going to help a lot of people. So I want to get into some questions that people ask. So someone asked, what is a healthy amount to think about food? What if someone's like, you know, I think about it pretty often, and they're kind of like, again, on that spectrum of, I don't know.
So I think obviously this is going to be different for every single person, but I mean, we eat, right? We have to wake up in the morning. We have to have our breakfast or however many, you know, meals or snacks that you eat. I mean, for me, I have to think about food because I cook in my house. So I'm the cook, you know, I have to go grocery shopping. I have to think, okay, what meals am I going to make for the week? I think where it becomes a fine line of this is unhealthy is when you can't focus on anything else except that. So you're at your computer desk and you're thinking about, okay, it's 10 o'clock and I'm already thinking about when my next meal is. And then you just eat in your meal and you're like, okay, well, did I eat too much? Okay. You know, all this had butter in it. That was probably too many calories. So I think some people have this fear of, I'm getting excited for food. That's not a problem. I get excited for food all the time. I watch your YouTube videos. I love your pancakes. I love your oatmeal and all this delicious stuff and the dark chocolate. And I get so excited, right? But it's not this like fear or, oh my God, I'm eating too much or I'm not eating enough. It's just excitement. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you from morning to night are plugging your food in my fitness pal and obsessing about every gram, and then the next day you're feeling guilty for what you've eaten a week after you're thinking about what you've just eaten, or you have dinner plans on Saturday and it's Monday night and you're looking at the menu and you're already planning what you should be, what you're allowed to eat, what you should be eating, that's where it becomes obsessive.
Let's say you have a client who comes to you and they're like, I am just at my worst right now with binge eating. It's happening all the time. I can't stop it. I don't know what to do.
So my whole philosophy is we have to understand that binge eating is a habit that's been ingrained into the brain. And the more times that you feel the urge and you give into the urge, the stronger the urge becomes. So the whole thing is we want to create more time, more space, more distance between feeling the urge and actually giving in. Now, where people kind of get tripped up a little bit is they try, I'm just going to distract myself. I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm going to drink water and tea. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to try to stay busy. But we can't just manage our impulses. We want to get rid of it. So when we do those things, we're managing it. Maybe you get lucky. You go for a walk with a friend, you come home, and maybe you don't binge. But the next day, the urge is still there. Maybe a week later, the urge is still there. So we want to use specific body-based techniques and tools that will help you not give in to the urge to binge. So things like hopping into a cold shower, this physically changes how you feel. If you've ever hopped in a cold shower before, it's like you feel alive, you feel energized, right? When your body feels different, this creates a state change. You also think differently as well too. So that is a technique that you can do when you're feeling the urge to binge that will create more time, more space, more distance that will help you to not give in. Breath work. So I'm a certified breath work facilitator as well too, which is, I'm sure you know, is so powerful.
So powerful. Yes.
Yeah. Even like 30 seconds of a forceful exhale through the mouth. You can do that. And movement. So shaking your body, jumping up and down, getting oxygen flowing, getting the feel good endorphins flowing. Again, it creates a state change in your body and it changes how you think. Now, the biggest thing is we can't say, I have to do these tools so I don't binge, because you're not going to want to do the tools. I remember I hated binge eating and I also liked it at the same time. And I was like, I just have to do this. You can't tell me to do anything else. I won't do it. So the goal is to tell yourself you can literally binge, you can eat afterwards. But if you do this before, you're going to go into your food less impulsive. You're going to have more control so that when you actually do eat, it's not this chaotic energy. So that's the biggest thing. Rewiring your brain out of these cycles, weakening and diminishing the urge to binge so that you no longer feel it. The more times you do this and the longer the time period between feeling the urge and giving in, the weaker that urge becomes. And eventually you no longer feel the urge to binge.
You know, it's wild. Like, I have never heard that said before. And as you're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense, because the problem comes from that feeling, that uncontrollable feeling of, I can't do anything else other than this right now. So if you can tell yourself, yes, you can still do this. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying, give me something else before. Can we hop into a quick shower? Can we do some breath work? Yeah, that's amazing. That's great advice. Would you also say that, you know, in terms of like, these are great for right in the moment, I'm feeling it, this is what I can do at the moment. What about the kind of the long way, the working on fixing your relationship with food? Because, you know, for me, I think binge eating and the way that I was able to heal it, I wish I had known all these different tools and stuff. I think they would have been so helpful. But for me, I remember hitting rock bottom and being like, okay, so this isn't working. I know I need to heal my relationship with food. And as I was working on healing my relationship with food, it still happened. The binges still happened, but I had to let go of feeling guilty for them. And I had to, even after the binge, then my biggest problem came from, I would binge and then I would heavily restrict to the point of that my body all of a sudden was like, okay, well, we have to binge again because we need the extra calories. We need to feel full. We need to feel all these things. So for me, it was like, I healed it by, I would binge and then I would go back into my full, you know, the amount of calories that I needed to eat, the food that I needed to eat, like no restriction, which was so difficult. It was so difficult. I saw my body change. I felt, you know, I hate to use the word puffy, but I felt puffy and inflamed and my digestion was off and like my body was confused, but the binges started to get less and less common as I was feeding myself through, like there was no more restriction. So I think my body kind of got to a point of, okay, I don't have to overcompensate anymore.
So when we no longer feel the urge to binge, the binges stop and then we don't feel the need to restrict like the next day. There's not that guilt. There's not the shame. However, on a day-to-day basis, of course, we need to reduce the amount that we are restricting, right? We have to release our food rules. But I think more than like physical restriction, I think people deal with mental restriction, right? Like the judgment of, you know, I crave something sweet after my meal, that must be wrong. I know you do that. I do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But diet culture has brainwashed us to believe that like we can't eat something sweet. Or if it's 12 o'clock and we get hungry 30 minutes later, oh my goodness, I can't eat again. Like I'm so bad. Like, why am I hungry? So I think it's more the mental restriction that we need to look at, and also satisfaction with your meals. This will change your entire relationship with food. There's a difference between feeling full and feeling satisfied. So for example, I love a good salad, right? A good salad, grass-fed beef, whatever I throw in there, and I'll feel full. But if there's maybe not something sweet, right, I will want something else. I will go up for a second, or I'll crave something else. And people fear that if I make my meals too satisfying, they're going to be too high in calories, too high in fat. You know, it's not going to be good for, they're so used to, you know, plain foods. You need satisfying meals. And this doesn't have to mean drenching your food in oil or butter, although there's nothing wrong with those things, but it could be simply like, I like to have different combinations. So I'll have, you know, maybe some olives on the side or some cheese on the side or whatever, like these little things here and there with my oatmeal. I'm not going to just have oatmeal. I'll have blueberries, bananas, strawberries, dark chocolate chips, walnuts, like all these things make your meals satisfying, which can actually help you to not feel the urge because you're satisfied. And the last thing that I would say, not fearing cravings. Cravings aren't a big scary monster. We think we can just dismiss the cravings. Like I'll be fine. I gotta, you know, stay motivated and do all the things. When we dismiss our cravings, they actually turn into binge impulses. So maybe at the beginning, you can dismiss a craving, but when it turns into a binge impulse, you're going to have no choice but to give in. So I would say start allowing yourself to eat the foods that you enjoy and give in to your cravings, and know that your body always wants what's best for you. And if you eat a little more than one day, it will work itself out. We don't have to fear, like we have to start building trust within our bodies.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to take it this all in because I relate to it so much, but I keep having this thought of like, wow, like this is going to help so many people. I wish that I had someone like you, honestly, when I was dealing with my binge eating disorder, because I was so confused and I was so lost. And I felt like you said, you know, my cravings, they were against me. Why was I craving sweets? Why was I craving all that stuff? Like now I will have something chocolatey after every meal. It's like a non-negotiable. I'll bring it with me because I'm like, I know that I want it. I know that I need it. And I know that when I have it, I feel satisfied. And like you said, there's such a big difference between being full. You can get full on plain chicken that's completely unseasoned and plain vegetables. You can get full. You eat enough of it, you get full, but you're still going to walk away feeling like I need something else. And that's where your mind gets so, it almost just feels like, well, that's wrong. You just ate so much food. But like you said, it's completely different things. So I have another question for you. I'm a fan of intermittent fasting. I was diagnosed with PCOS 4.5 years ago or so. And I found intermittent fasting to be actually really helpful with blood sugar regulation. It's also something that comes very naturally to me. It's not something that I ever had to teach myself how to do. It's more when I wake up first thing in the morning, I have a couple of hours. It's usually not long, 2 or 3 hours until I'm hungry. And that's when I'll have my first meal. And then a couple hours after that, I'll have my second meal and then my big third meal. And that will be it. I'm not a huge snacker throughout the day. I like to have bigger meals, less snacking. I, again, found that works. But fasting, again, is something that can be, in a sense, restricting just in itself. So actually, someone asked, how can I include fasting into my routine without feeling restricted? It makes me want to rebel and eat a lot. Is that just something that people who don't have it come naturally to them, they just shouldn't do? Or what's your take on that?
Yeah. So I love that you said, like, when you wake up in the morning, you're naturally maybe not hungry a few hours into your meal. So your body is just naturally telling you, hey, this is when I should eat. The problem with fasting, because we know intermittent fasting has many benefits to, you know, balancing hormones and inflammation and all of that stuff. And it's, you know, giving your body a rest to actually digest and do the things that it needs to do. However, for somebody that has a poor relationship with food and somebody who struggles with binge eating, a lot of the time there's this like inner rebel that comes inside that says, I can't eat until 11 a.m. And then it's like, if I eat at 10:55, I failed. If I ate at 10:05, I failed. And for me, I actually tried intermittent fasting because I'm like, ooh, this is not a diet. But for me, telling myself that I couldn't eat at a certain time, I would like binge on my dinner meal. I had this scarcity mindset of I'm not going to be able to eat for how many ever hours. Now I could do it if I want to. There's zero impulse or anything like that. But for somebody who is struggling with their relationship with food, I do not recommend it. Now, if you wake up in the morning, like I said, and maybe you're not hungry until 10, that's totally fine. It's more being spontaneous about it. I think people turn intermittent fasting into another set of rules. There's so many ways to do intermittent fasting. It doesn't have to be, you know, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It can just be, you know, again, everyone's different, but I think when it becomes more intuitive fasting and it's like, yeah, I'm not hungry this morning, that's okay. Sure, you can absolutely do it. But it sounds like what this person is saying is like, it makes me feel rebellious. So I don't really think that there can be a healthy balance because fasting is not eating. And then you just think about the food so much more. So when you better your relationship with food, you absolutely can go back to, you know, intermittent fasting and focusing on other health avenues. Like I've worked on my gut health, my hormones, I had SIBO, all these things that I've been able to work on because I healed my relationship with food.
It's so funny that you say that because I actually had a friend who asked me like, so you do intermittent fasting and like, I want to try it. You know, I wake up and I'm thinking about food and like, maybe it will help me not think about food. And I was like, girl, I don't think about food. And that's why intermittent fasting works for me because exactly. I eat when I start to think about food. I have no rules with it. I'm like, you know what? If I wake up one day and at 8 and I'm hungry at 9, then I'll eat. Like, I don't even look at the clock. It's more just like, whenever I get that urge, I get that urge and I satisfy it. And, you know, I have my big meal, but yeah, it's interesting. I agree with you. It's like for people who are, or if you're waking up and you're already thinking about food, the last thing that you should be doing is taking that food away. So someone else asked, and I thought this was such a great question because I talk about this a lot, especially now that I'm in the hormone space and the gut health space and all of that. They said, should I prioritize my future self or my present self when making food choices?
So I think it's a twofold answer. Like you want to focus on how you feel in the present moment. Like where am I at on a hunger scale? Like, you know, 1, I'm starving, 10, I'm, you know, ravenous. Like where am I at on a hunger scale? What foods sound good to me? Not what should I be eating, what foods sound good to me. But I also think future self, because we want to think about how we're going to feel. Like there are a lot of people that can't do dairy, can't do, you know, certain foods. And it's like, if we know that those certain foods aren't going to make us feel good, we have to think about our future self as well too. And I know it's tough because it's like, even when it comes to the binge, it's like in the moment we're like, yes, like I want it. It's going to feel so good. But then the future self is instant regret, the guilt, the shame, the anxiety. So I think we got to think about both. Now, when it comes to like, even like gut health and like hormones and stuff, like I encourage everyone to practice gentle nutrition. And, you know, it's like, just because maybe you want a cookie doesn't always mean you need a cookie. And maybe I'm, you know, I'm a little bit of a different, I have a different approach when it comes to like coaching my clients. I don't say, yeah, you can eat cookies and chips and cake every single day. You're not going to feel good. And it's just not the best, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about like, okay, I haven't really had a lot of protein today. So in this moment, maybe I don't really feel like protein, but it's a good idea to get in some protein so I can have energy. You know, it's good for my body. And like, just really like honoring your body and pulling in wisdom to say also too, like, I don't need that cookie. Think about a little child. If you have a kid and they're like screaming at the grocery store, like, mommy, I want the cookie. And it's like 8 a.m, you're probably going to say, sweetie, like, let's get you some breakfast. Let's feed you properly. And then we can have, you know, a snack later on. So does that make sense?
Totally. That makes so much sense. And I think that that is such a great way to look at it, especially if you're someone who's struggling, like, can you work with yourself the way that you would work with a child? And I do think that everything when it comes to health, wellness, fitness is all in the balance. I have 5 minutes left on this meeting and I'm so sad. We will have to do a part two, but I would love to end off, you know, this podcast episode with, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to hear this and are going to want to work with you. So how can they find you? Are you taking on clients currently?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I hope that everyone just listening, I just hope you don't feel alone. I hope you know you're not broken. I hope you know there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You don't have to feel shame. You don't have to feel embarrassed or anything like that. There is a way out. I don't care if you've tried so many different things. I've had clients do therapy, seeing nutritionists, you know, dietitians, all these different things. There is going to be an approach out there that you resonate with that's going to blow your mind how effective that it can be for you to stop your binge eating. So I just want to say that beforehand. And if you've resonated with anything, yeah, you can come hang out with me either on TikTok or Instagram at Lorna_bingeeatingcoach. Send me over a message and we can chat through it. I do have a podcast as well too. It's the Ditch Decade Diets podcast. And yeah, just definitely send me over a message and I'm here to support everyone who is ready to conquer binge eating.
Thank you so much. You are so inspiring. I will have all of that linked in the show notes below so that people can find you. They can find your podcast. They can find your TikTok. I feel like I've learned so much already from this episode. And I'm like, wow, my younger self who was struggling with all of that feels so, you know, supported. Thank you again for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, to everyone listening, you deserve it. Go find some food freedom. You are worth it.
Absolutely.